beginning with myself, right? Being present with myself, because that's the place most of us most often take a flight from, not paying close attention to who and what we are, why we are. So I have a few things that I started on down this path of imagination and being, and Irma and I went back and forth about, well, that title, what's that title really getting at? Well, it's kind of the, your brain or your that imagination, whatever that energy is that creates things, that creative spark in you, and the realities of you, that flesh and blood, hands made flesh, that do things. So I started off engaging with this notion that we need to be more imaginative. And then I wondered, is there some combination or connectivity between our imagination, our ethics / morality, and your spiritual or maybe religious, or more precisely, your theos, your theological understanding? What role does the creativity engaged with imagination, what role does that play in your life? What does it, or how does it impact how your spirituality is revealed in what you do, what you say, who your friends are, who you love, how you dare understand yourself? And finally, what does it mean when we can stretch beyond the normal capacities of ourselves to be brave in our imagination? Lord have mercy, I could write a book on this, because there's so much to deal with. So let me give you a few thoughts that I gathered along the way. Albert Einstein once said, and I'm quoting here, "The true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. It means that storing knowledge and learning the facts and formulae is not enough, but the motive of life is to think beyond the imagination." Ooh, I love that. Then I was searching, how does imagination help you in life? And I found these words. And I don't know who to attribute them to, so please don't come and sue me if somehow you wrote these. Imagination can also decrease stress levels, as it encourages problem solving and the possibility of positive outcomes and solutions. A powerful imagination is a wonderful skill to have, and a very important one to nurture throughout all stages of life. Ooh, do I need them as I'm approaching my 60th birthday? I got to reimagine myself as no longer that young and vibrant Gordon, but, you know, a more, you know, calm and peaceful Gordon, thoughtful, you know, wise. I'd like to hope so. And then, how about this? I was looking up holy imagination. Did you ever think of putting those two words together, holy and imagination? I guess those people who deep dive into their spirituality might do that. But I think so often many you use, and I don't know how many of y'all that is, but many you use are riding the surface of their spirituality, and I can think anything, I can believe anything, I can do anything. You know, I'm a you. No, dear people, I want y'all to go further. And so this notion of holy imagination, when I looked it up, I found these words. It said, holy imagination is the image, making power of the soul. It is not bound by temporal time. Holy imagination is a spiritual tool, a doorway to the soul. It is replenished by holy words and the richness of images. It can help us grow. Ooh, I like that. I need some holy imagination. And lastly, before I give you the real meat of, I don't like the meat, the tofu of what I want to tell y'all, I came to this moral imagination thing, and In his theory on moral imagination, the Scottish economist and philosopher Adam Smith described an imaginative process that is essential not only to the understanding the sentiments of others, but also to moral judgment. Through an imaginative act, one represents oneself, the situation, interests, and values of another person, generating thereby a feeling of passion. I never thought that my moral imagination would do all of that, but according to Adam Smith, this is so. So let me give you what I wrote. Einstein held that imagination is more important than knowledge. I am enough of a deep thinker, I think, to draw freely upon my imagination. My knowledge, however, is limited. Imagination encircles the entirety of what human beings have thought of, done, created, imagined since the beginning of time. And that's where I wish I could just suck it all up. I define imagination as the faculty of the mind that forms and manipulates images, propositions, concepts, emotions, and sensations above and beyond, and sometimes independently of incoming information. To open up the realms of the unknown, the figurative, the possible, the hypothetical, these are things that I believe our imagination give us access to. Imagination comes in many forms and by many degrees, ranging from scientific reasoning to musical appreciation, and it overlaps with a number of other skills, including beliefs, desire, emotion, memory, and fantasy. Belief-like perception aims at according with reality, while desires aim at altering reality. Like belief, emotions also aim at according with reality, but more particularly at reflecting the significance of something. Like imagination, memory can involve remote images, but unlike imagination, memory is rooted in reality and serves primarily to frame and guide us moment by moment into actions. Dear friends, imagination is what we need now. Creative imagination, holy imagination, spiritual imagination, political imagination. We are at a particular point in the history of the human developmental process that's going to require people to behave in ways radically different than we have ever behaved before. It is no longer acceptable for there to be only 300,000 or so Unitarian Universalists. It is not okay that we are living in a time where people won't listen to the most important scientific minds speak to us about what's happening on our planet. This is not a time where you can say, oh, the ancient text told me I should wait on a Messiah coming and all will be well, all will be well. Shut your mouth. All won't be well until you become part of a process that allows creative minds, intelligent minds, hungry, active minds to put together the mind, the body, the hands, every bit of possibility within the human capacity to make this world a better place. And it's got to start with reimagining who we are, because most of us, and I would dare say all of us, don't begin to touch on all of the mental faculties that we actually have at our disposal. Our imagination must, must open pathways to creating the world that we've only dreamed of having. I don't know where I got that idea of I dream a world. It must have been in a piece of poetry that my children were reading, or a children's book, or something. Was it LeVar Burton in that TV show he had about children reading Rainbow? I don't know where it came from. I dream a world where everything that separates us has been diminished, heck, even dissolved. You see, I want to reach out and touch somebody's hand, but more than touching your hand with an open hand of friendship, I want our minds and our hearts to meet in a symbiotic dance of what it means to be alive, to be fully engaged with the living ether, the leaf and the flower, the bird and the bee, the tree and the rock, the water and the steel. I want to stop living life as if this piece of flesh is somehow so independent from everything that you all are or everything that is surrounding us. We're made from the same space dust. There is no black or white. Stop the lies. Stop the insanity. Stop your racializing of the human family. That's one of the things. This notion of gender, what nonsense. Who cares if you've got this body part or that body part? Use your body parts well and love people. I'm sick of the I'm a Jew, I'm a Gentile, I'm a Buddhist, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic. Stop the nonsense. It's not that your individuality and your particularity of what you choose to believe isn't important, because of course it is. It's that we allow others to have their own particularity of understandings, all within a larger reality of human capacities to blossom and grow. Because creative juices are flowing. Things are being revealed to people while we sit or I speak now. Our nation showed the world a dark side of itself in the past days. But it's not as if the world, if the world was paying attention, didn't already know that America, or to be more precise, the United States of America, had a dark side. I don't know any human being that's ever lived that doesn't have a dark side. A priest told me about an encounter with Mother Teresa. And they were talking about a building of a hospital in India. And Mother Teresa was told, well, if you make it higher than so many stories, you'll have to put in an elevator. And Mother Teresa was like, I'm not spending more money on elevators. They'll just have to climb. And the priest was like, but Mother, there are many sick people that will need to get up to those higher floors. That wasn't her interest. Her interest was in building something that would care for people in total. The particularity of the struggle of any individual to navigate the steps was irrelevant to her. And the priest thought badly of Mother Teresa. He said she was hard-edged. So I don't know who you might hold as sacred and so spectacular that they've never said a harsh word, never had a negative thought about somebody, but use your imagination. Those impulses are part and parcel of the normal process of being human. And saints and sinners all will have both good and bad, kind and unkind, right? And I don't like to place it in a dualistic understanding, but these are part and parcel of the realities of our being. And maybe some have evolved past it, but certainly not the vast majority of us. I want to think of uses of imagination where many of us have left behind that process or that ability. Most children begin to develop pretend play at about 15 months of age. What are children doing when they pretend? And why are they so absorbed in it? That is the question. By playing out scenarios and extending themselves beyond the limits, children seek to make sense of a world and find their own place in it. See, thinking outside of the box is what children do naturally. But how many of us have gotten stuck in the boxes of life? The meaning making is full of emotional content. Joy, excitement, and awe are completely part of a child's world. Infants have it almost, right? Children have it. Very few of us adults have it. I think Shel Silverstein had it all the way through, right? But right, there are too few of us that are like a Dr. Seuss or a Shel Silverstein, or right? Too few of us. Whenever we look at things, a painting, for instance, such as the Mona Lisa, we see much more than just the frame and the strokes of the artist. In fact, we barely see the brushstrokes at all. Our imagination and our dreams ascribe value, meaning, connectivity to things. We interpret everything through our own lenses, but why not interpret things through lenses that are expansive instead of lenses that limit? By imagination, we are able to complete the world that we live in, by conjuring up missing parts, to even inhabit other worlds. Who is that that had all that about Middle Earth and the various kingdoms? I watched all those movies. Who is that? Anyway, it'll come to me. Dear friends, imagination lets us feel at home. It enables us to get things done. Science advances hypotheses, which is a function of our imaginations. Philosophy makes frequent use of thought experiments. More than that, imagination enables us to form associations and connections to anything and everything we have the capacity to conjure up or to imagine. Imagination enables us to talk to one another, to understand one another, to work together. Without it, there could be no metaphor, no irony, no humor, no past, no future tense, and no conditional either. Indeed, there could be no language at all for what our words, if not symbols, and our imaginations, somebody's imagination that we all agree to go along with. Being aware of the importance of imagination, making time for sleep and idleness, taking inspiration from the natural world, makes living so much better. Hear these words from William Blake, which point to the significance of the natural world and the transcending power of imagination. The tree which moves some to tears of joy is the eye of others, only a green thing that stands in the way. Some see nature all ridicule and deformity, and some don't see nature at all. But to the eye of the human being who has an imagination, nature is itself imagination. You, my dear sisters and brothers, are nature itself. The only thing holding UUCLV back from greatness is our limits that we place on our imaginations. The only thing holding back any one individual from reaching the zenith of whatever you might have longed for in terms of becoming has more to do with our lack of imagining ourselves getting there and then finding out what steps it's going to take. The reason the United States is still stuck in a black, white, gay, straight, Protestant, Catholic, or atheist, theist, dualistic reality is because we've limited our imaginations. There is so much more for us to engage with. There is so much more that we can do individually to make ourselves the very best we can be and to help grow this congregation so it could be a force for good in this desert, this state, this region, this nation. The only thing stopping us is putting that imagination to full work. Naysayers are okay, but I like yaysayers. Yes, we can. Was that Obama? I guess so. But yes, we can is a reality that we can live into if we'll allow it to be the primary ethos of how you live your lives. I've limited myself in this journey of a lifetime. I had lots of opportunities high and low. I worked in Washington. I had an opportunity to work with Senator Akai from Hawaii. I lobbied Congress on behalf of our Unitarian Universalist Association when I worked for the Faith in Action office. I walked those hallowed grounds, or so I thought they were hallowed. Imagination is what fueled people in the state of Georgia to make different choices than they had previously been making. I am in awe of people like Stacey Abrams. I gotta lift up her name. She's a goddess of immense proportion. The people of Georgia, at least the plurality of them who were of voting age and participated in the electoral process, imagined something different for their state. I'm so thankful they did. The son of a cotton picker and the son of Jewish people who both know the wrath that the Ku Klux Klan and other hate groups can bring to bear upon a human being are now the senators elect from the state of Georgia. Thank you, Georgians. And now I'm gonna put it on each one of us. Somebody told me that letter writing makes a difference. Well, let's get a letter writing campaign going. Somebody said that showing up makes a difference. Well, let's show up to as many functions as we can that will make the world a better place. Somebody said that believing that the arc of the moral universe was going to bend towards justice, but only if we make it bend, it won't happen on its own. So it means you've got to be in the game, not watching from the sidelines. I'm going to ask y'all to let your imaginations run wild. And let's come together for more dialogue. Let's come together for more action. Let's come together for love. For love is the greatest power that imagination ever set forth on the human family. Such are the thoughts of your mild-mannered minister. Take good care of yourselves. Much love to you all. Amen. Thank you.